perhaps you've seen the show. Morgan Freeman has a new show entitled The Story of God. He says, I have always been fascinated by God. See, the whole idea of God, and you see, I watch a little bit of the show. He goes around in different cultures and villages finding out how people worship God or gods. It might be different gods out there. You know, and he found out that everybody has this idea of worshiping. They might be worshiping gods or multiple, you know, deities, and some others believe in a God, a true God out there. You see, the whole idea, the question of God, it has baffled people for centuries. People always try to find out, is there even a God out there? Does God even exist? How do we even know that God exists? And perhaps, you know, we talk about people that doubt the existence of God. If you are in that boat, maybe you need to hear what Scripture is going to tell us this morning. People want to find out, and like sometimes you hear, you're challenged because when people look at, people will say this, like, I would not believe in a God that would send people to hell. Or why do we have so much suffering and pain and evil in this world? If there's a God out there, why doesn't he do something? The whole idea of that, is there a God out there? Does he even exist? Now, I'm here to tell you that he does exist, and not just that, but he wants people to get to know him. You know, sometimes people, like some of the atheists, they're mad at God even though they don't believe that he exists. And to me, it's like, how would you be mad in something that you don't even believe exists? But they get angry at God, and they want to blame everything that in our society to God. The God that we talk about, the God that we sing about, which the praise team did an amazing job with the songs, he does exist, and he gave people evidence. You know, like how you search for evidence to find out if there's something out there? God gave humanity, the whole world, evidence of him so that you get to know him. This God that we're talking about, he wants people to get to know him. He wants you to be certain that he does exist. And he wants to have a relationship with creation. He wants to have a relationship with you. How do we know that? Well, let's find out. I mean, there's some biblical data out there. There's data outside of the Bible that you can find out evidence for God. That's another nice sermon title, Evidence for God. Evidence of our creation. Our creator. You see, you can know God. You can know him. I know a lot of times people know things about God, but the Bible tells us that we can know him. In Romans, this text in Romans 1, I just want to point out something. You know, I read it many times, and it never dawned on me something that I found out recently, and I just want to share with you, because it sheds light into the whole idea, like how God already laid out evidence. You look into certain things outside of the universe, even in our own universe, and you find evidence of God all over the place. Romans chapter 1. This is a scholar talking. You know, sometimes you hear about, we say it's the Apostle Paul. Some of us have no idea who Paul was. Paul will be an equivalent to somebody who went to Harvard. Paul will be an equivalent to somebody who was really a philosophical individual. He wasn't just like anybody, you know. He really was educated in his days. I mean, this is a man that who will get into debates with philosophies from Epicurean philosophies and Stoic. He knew his stuff. And he tell people about God. So for us, it's like, oh, the Apostle Paul. It's like, oh, maybe he wasn't even a fisherman. He was educated. I mean, when the Bible talks about him, he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. And when you look up who that man was, who that scribe, that Jewish rabbi, it would have been equivalent to going to Harvard University. Or some of the top scholar. And this is what he had to say. This is why even the Bible says that some of the things that Paul said, it was hard to comprehend, because he would just talk to you way over there. Even Peter had a tough time understanding some of the things that Paul talked about, because Paul was a scholar. And it's interesting, in Romans 1:18, he talks about God and the existence of God. And he started saying the wrath of God. So at least he, right there, you understand that God is mad about something. He's angry. Paul talks about the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. Romans 1:18 in your Bibles. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men
who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. But since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without an excuse. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Even there, even the wrath of God, Paul says, you can know that there's a wrath of God coming. Like, people know there's going to be a judgment time coming. He says it's being revealed from heaven against all sinfulness, against all wickedness of people. So right there, he's telling you, yeah, there are wickedness in the world, but God has nothing to do with it. We people have a lot to do with it. Because this wickedness, he's saying God's mad because all the things, people do not operate by his standards. He says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth. One of the things that mankind do is, the whole idea of knowing the truth of God, we don't want to know that, so let's suppress it. Let's detain it. Let's block it. God doesn't like that, but that's what we do. Why do you think people reject God today? Because we're suppressing the truth. We don't want the truth of God. So, right there, Paul understood that. He's saying, that's why God is mad. Because, what is known about him can be known, but some people out there don't want you to know it, and we're going to block it. That's why, when I read that, that was jumping on me. It's like, oh my goodness, here it is. No wonder people like, I reject God. I don't believe in him. And look what he says the next verse. For what may be known about God is plain. It's plain to people because God has made it plain. You know what Paul is telling us? Anything, you can know this God. What is known about him is known. It's plain. It's clear. Because God has made it clear. But why is it that we don't get it? Because perhaps we're suppressing the truth. We've been taught differently. And we believe the system rather than believing, his word. What may be known about God is plain to them because God made it plain. This God said, I'm gonna paint something out there, and when you look at it, you're gonna know there was a painter. I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna create something. When you look at that creation, you're gonna know that there was a creator. Now, how has God made it clear? Paul says that what you and I can be known, what can be known about God, God made it clear. How? Show me, Paul, when God has made clear his evidence out there that he exists. How has God made that obvious for you and I, evident for you and I? When I read that, I go back to Psalm David. David said in Psalm 19, 1 and 3, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaim his handiwork. That's what Danji was talking about. Handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are these words whose voice is not heard. Even David, the King David, says, when you look up to the heavens, they're telling you something. What are they saying? They're proclaiming the glory of God. They're saying, we just did not come here by ourselves. Somebody made us this beautiful. Somebody made us special. It says, day by day, they're pouring out speech. They're telling us something. They're telling us about the greatness of God when you look up to the heavens. How many times in the Bible God had to tell a prophet, get outside there and look up to the heavens. Who created all these? You are not here, my friends, by accident. And you look into the heavens, you see evidence, because those things out there, this order, and it's like, how is possible that just by an explosion or gas that those things just popped out there? Creation points to a God. Theologians call this God's natural revelation. It's almost like God's revealing himself to us through his nature. You look at nature and you're just like, wow, that gotta be it. Most people sometimes when they go to places that like the Grand Canyon and things like that, they get in a close relationship with God because they come saying like, how is that possible? They gotta be a God. They come like because they look at something, and David had it. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. They're telling us how glorious you are when we look up to the heavens, in the sky, the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets out there. God's revealing himself. Paul, he got it right. what may be known of God is being made plain. So that you don't have an excuse saying, but well, God's not out there. He says, God made it known so that you get to know Him. Look up to some of the things He put in place. Now, another psalm, he says in Psalm 97:6, the heavens proclaim His righteousness. You want to know how righteous and just He is? The heavens are telling us that. The sky, when you look around. Isaiah 40:25-26, God said to the prophet, to whom will you compare me, and who is my equal, says the Lord.
Look, and there's a word again. Look up to the heavens. I mean, you think that they're just there like, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder how you are. They're telling people, we've been made. We have a creator. I mean, look up to the heavens. Yahweh said, who created all these?
He answered for himself, because you and I can answer for God. He said, he who brings out the starry host. What's a starry host? The constellation. Things that we can know today because we have this telescope that you're paying for, by the way. It's called Hubble Telescope. And they look into things. And it's almost like God telling scientists, you want to know more of the things that I created? Upgrade the telescope. I'm willing to show you things that will blow your mind when you look up to some of the things out there that He has created. And He says, look up to the heavens. He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls them each by name. This is just mind-boggling. We call them stars. God has name for them. You know, even Rosie, Dan. I mean, he knows them each by name. I mean, talking about the greatness of God, you see, you and I need to right-size God. He's not in our dimension. You know, He's way bigger than we are because He created stars, and he calls them each by name. And then He said, because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Man, this guy we're talking about is huge. And the heavens are telling us His grandeur. He's telling us how big He truly is. Chris Tumbley has a song. He says,
you're an amazing guy. He says, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. Now, scientists estimate that they're like billions of stars. That's just an estimation. They don't even know. Billions of stars in the known universe. It's known because we have known now, through the
telescope. But there are other things out there that you and I have no idea. We have not even begun to comprehend and be able to tap into that. Huge. And God made all that. The Creator. Paul says, what can be known about God is already been plain. How? He's showing you through the things you look in nature already. I mean, how can you say that just came by chance? I'm going to prove to you chance doesn't work. Look up to the heavens, Isaiah. Could you see the stars? And God says, I know each star by name. You see, with the technological advancement we have, we can tap into some of the things and see and be wowed, be amazed when we look at what's out there. Scientists discover a new galaxy. They call the Grand Design Galaxy, Spiral Galaxy. And the reason they call it that is because when they tap into it, when they look into it, like the complexity of it and the order, they said, you know, they call it, it's like it's been designed. But if this, I mean, we talked about if there's a design, there probably was a designer then. When you look at a painter, you don't say, oh, the painting just came out of nowhere.
When there's a painting, there was a painter. You look at a building, you think the building just popped up in New York City, the skyscraper. There was an architect that sat down and designed that to look like that, like the Freedom Tower. Somebody designed it. So the designer is greater than the design. You know what I'm talking about?
So when you look up to that, scientists said this, they call it like that because they want to. They name the galaxy, they call it the Grand Design Spiral Galaxy. When they look into it, it's like, that's amazing. The order, the intricacy that it has, and that's what they say, it's design. And I say, okay, yeah, I like that. There was a designer who made it. You might not call him God, but that's his name. When you look at a picture, you know a painter did it. Now, design has, in order for you to design something, to create something, you're going to need three elements. You're going to need intelligence. You're going to need to be able also to have free will. And you're also going to need power. You cannot design anything without intelligence, free will, and power.
Intelligence means that you have to think about what it is you want to create. And you have the choice, you have the ability. You know what? Sometimes, oh, no, I don't want it this way. Mm-mm. That's free will. Nobody's telling you. So in order for you to design anything, you have to have intelligence, free will, and power. And the power to do it the way you want to. You see, when you look at those three things, that's what makes us human. We have intelligence, we have free will, and we have power. God made us so that we can also create things. Why do you think we have cities? Who created that? Mankind. Because God instilled in us. And so how is it that we can come up and be able to do those things? Because the Bible already is telling us that we've been made in the image of God. God gave humans something He did not give our dogs and cats. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And He gave us intelligence. We can reason out. We can think about. That's why He's mad at humanity, because He said, you're suppressing the truth. You're making the choice to block my truth so that people don't get to know me. He says, we create so many things in our own lives. You see, natural laws don't have free will. A law doesn't have intelligence, because a law is not a person. But we do have intelligence. We know what's right from wrong. We know we have the power to do certain things better, to improve. Why do you think we have technology today? Because they realize, let's upgrade certain things. We don't have a VCR anymore. Some of you kids don't even know what a VCR is. Or a record player. Because we are thinking about, we want to make things better because we have intelligence. And there, we came out of a monkey apparently that has no intelligence. I mean, please. That doesn't even make sense. We have intelligence because God created us and He put that in us. And we have the power to change things. We destroy things and we also change things with the power we have. We have the ability to choose how we want certain things to look because God made it that. That's how design is available. That's how designing is possible. And so when you look up the universe, how they design, there got to be a designer out there. We call Him God. Other people might call something else. Natural laws, like I said, they don't have a free will. Now, another thing too, talking about laws, if there are laws, there had to be a lawgiver. I mean, how did the laws come in place? I mean, look at our society. We have laws because somebody greater than the law say these are the laws to govern the country. If you have laws somewhere, somebody gave you those laws or somebody put those laws in place. Laws don't just pop up out of nowhere. Just looking at laws, oh, I mean, we're governed by laws. We got laws all over the place. So who decided to put those laws in our society, in our midst? The great designer, God. Now, this is talking about law. The law of inertia proves that there is a God out there. Even our own laws, the law of inertia proves that there's a God, because the law states, he says, objects in motion stay in motion unless acted upon by an outside force. In other words, this is going to be there forever unless I shake it. This is the outside force. And so otherwise, the wind will come. That's what inertia law would tell us. So, or it would say, objects not in motion will remain not in motion unless something, acted upon it. So, this universe that we have, how did it come about? Because something greater than our own universe had to have caused it, had to have made it. There has to be an existence greater than ours, because the laws of our own universe could not have created themselves. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We have a universe over here. Our laws could not have created themselves because something greater than our own universe and existence had to have caused us to exist. You and I cannot create ourselves like, oh, we just want to be there. Something greater, someone greater has to have made that to happen. Otherwise, the universe still will go around. There has to be an original force, something beyond creation, for creation to even exist. If we have creation, it's because something greater made creation to happen. I mean, just applying the law of inertia, that's what it says. Because otherwise, you never have creation then. The creator is greater than the creation, just as a designer is greater than a design.
God has given so much evidence out there for people to get to know Him. Now, talking about design, let me just give you another example that design has to have a designer, because order doesn't happen by chance. You know, if you wait for chance, it will never happen. I think the picture already passed. When the parents said to the kids, clean your room. Clean your room. Just wait for chance. So don't clean your room. Just wait until, like, miraculously, the room is going to clean itself. Remember, inertia said that room is going to stay like that until there's a force from the outside. It will come and start to pick up clothes and books and put it in a place. Let's just give it 1,000 years, or maybe billions of years, for that room to see if it's going to clean itself. I mean, please. I mean, chance doesn't create things. You know, something has to happen for creation, for that room to be cleaned up. You know, I mean, like, you can tell your mom, say, well, mom, I'm learning at school that, you know, I'm going to wait, just give it time and something will happen. You might die and the room still be like that. I mean, that just proves to you that doesn't work. By chance? Or, you know, less chance, you know, by chance. People that want to get married and they're waiting for chance to bring the mate, I don't want to break it to you, you're going to die and you're never going to get married. Because you have to have intelligence. You have to have the choice to say, I'm going to see, you know, maybe you don't want chance to bring the spouse you want. You better go and look for it. Apply intelligence. So, chance, like I said, is like clean your room. Oh, you can say, well, let me just say a prayer for my room to be clean. And, you know, I'm going to really fast for my... Please, until you start picking up some of that garbage you have in there, nothing is going to happen. So, because if you just leave it to chance doesn't work. Somebody has to come, an outside force has to come and create beauty. There's a chaos, somebody created beauty. And that's what scientists are realizing. Like, that thing can just not just happen out there. Somebody has to have made it, because there's order. I mean, look at our own earth. Why is it that all the trees have their roots on the ground? I mean, there's order even, and you know, in the sun and the season. We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school. There is order where we are. And even when they consider where the earth is, that for us, for life to be possible on earth, the earth cannot go around the sun in a circular way. It has to be elliptical. For life to be possible, and if we diverted like 2 inches of our rotation, you and I would not be talking about this. You and I be dead. Life would not be possible. So how can you tell me that just came out, that it happens, that the earth just goes around like that? Chance? No, God said, look up to the sky. Who placed those things in there? Yahweh, the Lord did it. So there's order in the universe. There's chaos too, because we have created chaos among ourselves, like that room over there. And that's why God, Paul said, he's so angry, because people, you know, the wickedness of man, they suppress the truth by the wickedness. And then, because he says, since what may be known about God is plain, because God has made it plain, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible quality, you get to know about God's character, His qualities, His eternal purpose, just by looking at things outside. Just by looking at even at you. I mean, if I were here to talk about the human body, that'd be another thing that would wow us. Like how we are created in the image of God. See, God's giving people ample evidence of who He is. God has displayed His character, attributes in what He created so that people are, the Bible says, so that people are without excuse. Sometimes people come to me and say, but what happens if somebody in some place, remote area in Africa, never heard of Jesus? There's a text. They have evidence that there's still a God, even if you never told them about Jesus, because God placed them in them. And also, we have something else that we call it our conscience. That just didn't happen by accident either. You know, the whole intelligence God has set up. We are conscious people. We have consciences. And animals and plants don't have conscience. I don't know if you knew that. Your cats, as much as you love them, and your dog, they don't have conscience. Seriously. I mean, some people in our society, we have this worldview that animals are more important than people.
And that just goes against God. And he's mad because people believe that. Yes, I love my dog, I love my cat,
but they're animals. They don't have conscience. Yes, you might believe they love you back. I mean, they're just trained to do that. Conscience is only humanity that have conscience. And you see that even, you go somewhere in Africa, somewhere in a place in South America where nobody, I mean, people still walking around naked. And I guarantee you, they have somebody who's a chief in that culture, and he's the spiritual leader. Who told them that they should get a spiritual leader? Unless that God already put in our DNA this idea of worship. And yes, there's a lot of people worshiping something out there. They might not even know who the name of that deity they're worshiping is. But you and I being created to seek God, to worship something. Now, yes, like I say, a lot of people worshiping the wrong thing, but that's being in our DNA. You know, how do I know that? When God said,
the Bible said that humanity was created in His own image, and He gave us something that He did not give the animals. He gave us His own image. Now we can reason, we can create, we can have authority over certain things. Humans have conscience. We have this idea of right and wrong.
And it's like, who put that in there? Chance? This whole idea, like, sometimes a kid, you don't have to teach them. I mean, when they're growing up, they know when they have done something wrong. And you wonder, how did they know that already? It's already in their conscience. And, you know, they know how to laugh and things. And it's like, the whole idea of morality, because we have morality, they have to be a God. Even that proves to us that God exists. Now, conscience, according to Webster, is this: the part in your mind that makes you aware of your actions as being either morally right or wrong. That's just Webster, the dictionary that everybody uses. The part in our mind that makes us aware of our actions to see whether they are right or wrong. Animals don't have that. How do I know that? Look at the rhino. The rhino dad will kill the baby the moment the baby is born because he gets jealous. And it's like, what kind of conscience is that, man? You're going to kill your own child? Because they don't have conscience. And this bull and the cow, they have a baby. When that baby is grown, then he becomes the husband of the mother. That's the animal kingdom. And you know, and it's like, because they don't have conscience. We hear that, it's like, oh, that's nasty. Oh, like, because we have conscience. God has created us and He knows what's right. We know what's right and wrong because He put those things in us. Even that tells you and I that there's a creator, that God exists. Morality requires God. Right and wrong requires a God to legislate what's right and wrong. Not the government, not you. There's got to be something higher than us to legislate what's right and wrong. If there's a law, there has to be a lawgiver. You see, every human culture has a sense of right and wrong in their culture. Why? Because God placed that in their lives. God created us unique in His image. We can reason. We can know what is right and wrong. Kendall Falls says it this way: if there's no God, then what Hitler did whatever he did wasn't evil. He said, if there's no God, Hitler was not wrong nor evil in what he did. I mean, think about that. That's the way he put it. If there's no God, what he did, you cannot say that's evil. I mean, how would you judge that? Well, in our society, everything is relative, so for him, that was okay. You see, that's how we get in trouble so quickly in our society, when you think that everything is relative. Like, there got to be some morality. There got to be some right and wrong. And we know that what he did, killing a whole bunch of Jews, is wrong. So, but if you eliminate God, if there's no God, then it wasn't wrong. Because, you know, how can you... Who's going to dictate? Who's going to be the legislator to say, Hitler, you messed up, man. That's wrong. The people that flew the planes into... If there's no God, what they did, that was an act of... You know, that's not wrong. Killing people, I mean, that's... But there's some God that says, you don't act like that. The morality he put in our place to behave according to his standards, says you don't kill people, you love him. You see, if you take God out of the whole picture, then we have a bigger problem. I mean, the laws we have. Who's going to tell us what's wrong and right? The government? I mean, they cannot even get their act together. And it's like, somebody greater than ourselves has to be the one, the lawgiver. So when Kendall said that, I'm thinking like, wow, that's true. I mean, we have moral views in our society. Morality requires a God. Right and wrong requires a God to legislate, not me. Humans, we're not the center of our universe. And yes, in our society, that's what we've been taught, that we're the center of our own universe. We're not. I mean, we talked about this morning that you and I are, we cannot even transcend our own time. Time is bigger than us. And space, you and I can only be in one place at one time. Because we're one-dimensional people. I mean, we cannot transcend those laws. But there's laws out there. Who made those laws? If there's law, there got to be a lawgiver. Now, those who reject God, those who didn't believe He exists, are without excuse, according to what Paul says. God gave them plenty of evidence out there. And I'm just showing you a few. Evidence within ourselves to know Him. I mean, He put that in us, like the whole idea of the concept of God. There's something out there greater than myself. Look at it. Any culture that you go to, they do have somebody to represent the whole nation. Like the chief, the Native Americans, they have the Indians, that they were like the spiritual leaders. So who told them to get a spiritual leader? Because our conscience is telling us, and we know when we blew it, when we're sinning against God, we know because it's in us. Our conscience that He put in there. Now, are you still not sure about God? You're still doubting His existence? I mean, look at the other passage in Romans 1:21. What Paul continues saying, 21-23. For although they knew God, I mean, he said they knew God because God made it plain for them. He said, they neither glorify Him as God nor gave Him thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile. They're thinking, they can think, they reason. Their thinking became messed up, futile, Paul says. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals. And Paul's talking about, that's why the wrath of God is coming, because instead of people worshiping a God, a creator, they're worshiping an image that they just made to resemble something, and that image doesn't have power. That's what people decide to do because their mindset is darkened. And Paul says, that's why His wrath is coming. What is known about Him is being plain. He gave people evidence, but they don't want it. I challenge a friend of mine all the time. When he comes to me with questions, well, if God is so great, why doesn't He change that? And if God, and I said, you know, I said to him, you're glad that I'm not God, because if I knew you, if I be God, I would destroy you right now. I told him, because you never believe in God, you always reject Him, and now because something bad has happened to you, oh, you want God to fix it? No, if I be God, I would not fix it. You never praised me. You never gave me the glory. Why should I care about you? But you know, in our society, a lot of people, they want a soda machine God. Like, you put a dollar, oh, He answered my prayer. You do this. God doesn't operate by a standard. He's the lawgiver. He expects us to operate by His standard and not the other way around. But in our society, we want to bring God, to make God into our own image. And we can't. God has already made us into His image. And it's up to you and I to reason it out and say, you know what? I'm gonna believe in you because you are my creator. I have purpose in life. Because you place that purpose right there. So Paul talks about, no wonder His wrath is coming. Because they're exchanging the truth for a lie. They exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look, I mean, they're making images, that, and then they worship those images. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Thinking that those images that we create are going to do something for us. People won't have any excuse when God pours out His wrath on those who reject Him and refuse. You know why? He's going to punish people because He gave him the chance. He gave him the opportunity. He gave him evidence to get to know Him, and people don't want to know Him. God exists and has left you plenty of evidence all around us so we could get to know Him.